The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Warner Brothers Discovery is planning to shut down CNN Plus. It has not been in operation for very long, but of course this comes after CNN Plus launched just before the closure of that merger. And now that the merger has gone through, it appears as if the David Zaslav run company, this combined company, wants to really focus on building HBO Max as a unified service and to bundle together all of their different streaming operations. So this really indicates that they're not happy with the direction that CNN Plus was going in. There were a number of reports that it was not drawing a lot of subscribers.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Fascinating story. We'll talk about it. Good afternoon. First of all, it's good to be with you. I'm Drew Mariani. Appreciate you tuning in. We are on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday, right? This weekend, we'll pray the novena today in about an hour, day eight. And then day nine is tomorrow, and Sunday, Father Rocky and I will be at the Chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay. We're going to host a live Divine Mercy time of prayer. It won't take a lot of your time, but we'll have exposition, some comments, some prayer. We'll pray the chapel together. We'll pray for your intentions. We'll be live. On that day, the Lord said that all the floodgates in which graces flow are open. It's a powerful day. I'm telling you, miracles happen on that day. So I hope you'll pray with me. I hope you'll join us. That's 3 p.m. Central, 4 Eastern, noon Pacific. No, it's 1 Pacific. 1 Pacific time. So you can check that out. And be great to have you. I'd love to do that with you. So coming up a little later, too, just to help you out. You may not be familiar with the extraordinary promise of divine mercy. It's something that was very dear to the Lord's heart. He mentioned it 14 different occasions. The St. Faustina really wanted this day proclaimed. But, you know, what's the deal? Do you have to go to confession that day? Do you have to receive communion that day? Can you do it the day before? Can you do it 20 days before, 20 days after? What is the promise? How does it differ from a plenary indulgence? I mean, there's lots of questions regarding this. It is one of my favorite days on the entire calendar, the entire church calendar. And I just think the graces that day are not just abundant, but they're extraordinary. And we'll talk more about it. We'll clear up your questions a little later. Dr. Stackpole is going to be stopping by. We'll tap into him. Dr. Brian Thatcher. We'll talk Divine Mercy. Father Stephen Lesniewski is going to be stopping by, and we'll talk about the origins of the chapel. So today we'll get you up to speed on everything you need to know regarding this extraordinary day. Make time on that day. I'm telling you, to pray, to ask God for whatever you need. I am convinced that you'll be reporting back, you know, with lots and lots of miracles, no doubt about that at all. Let me start today with just an update. You know, we've been talking about Disney, right, and how woke it's been, and, you know, how they really misrepresented a piece of Florida legislation that dealt with parental rights that would limit children from being indoctrinated with sexual education, like gender fluidity and all the rest of this stuff when they're in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, right? And the mainstream media and Disney and everybody went wild, and they called it the Don't Say Gay Bill, even though the word gay is not mentioned in it. I mean, we talked about this a lot. I won't rehash it all. So Florida lawmakers today, they voted to actually strip Disney of its special status. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. You can go back to my podcast and listen to that conversation where we talked about the history of this. And why Disney had the ability to have its own law enforcement, levy its own taxes, even, you know, put nuclear power on its ground. So it was pretty wild. You know, it dates back to, I think, 1967. So there was a piece of legislation that went before both the House and the Senate there. The Florida House voted 68-38 to strip Disney of what is a privileged tax of and self-governing status. And then, of course, the Senate voted in favor of it as well. So Walt Disney World has been stripped. Now, it has been stripped. Just an update for you. The Florida House gave the final passage that would end what they call the Reedy Creek Improvement District, a.k.a., you know, Disney's government. And the legislation now goes before the governor, Governor DeSantis's desk. He's going to, I'm sure, sign it. And if he does, it'll go into effect June 1st of not this year, but the following year of 2023. So there's a little bit of time. Governor DeSantis, I don't know whether he's going to run for president or not. I guess everyone's going to wait to see if Donald Trump gets involved. But DeSantis is probably going to be the front runner, I would think, out of all the candidates who might throw their hat in the ring. He's the guy who wanted to protect children in school. He's the one who wanted to remove Disney's protections because he says, look, he just doesn't support special privileges in law because a company is powerful. And Disney has pushed around the Florida government for a little while. So that's a big day, big move. We'll see what happens and where this goes. I'll continue to monitor it for you, but that's the latest. Florida's saying, Disney, enough is enough. You've crossed the line. You've gone too far. Speaking of, I guess, wokeness as well, I don't know, or even a platform that has promoted critical race and all sorts of division, CNN. And again, you may love it. I'm going to report on what's happening here. I mean, I did have problems with some of the coverage that they have provided in the past, some of the bias. And I just want media, and I know you do too. That's probably why you listen to this show. You want media to be objective. You want them to give you the facts. You want to receive the truth, and you want to make a decision for yourself. You may agree or disagree with what I say, but you have the right to take the information presented and make that particular decision. Not to be force-fed, talking points and a mantra over and over again. Be given propaganda. That's what I see a lot of these particular news networks have done. So everybody's coming on with these plus networks, Disney plus, CNN plus, right? Everything's plus, right? It's an online streaming service. Online streaming really is the future. We're talking hundreds of billions of dollars in the future with this. So CNN, I don't know if you followed this story or not, they debuted March 29. And you might have seen guys like Chris Wallace, who was a broadcaster for Fox News. He jumped ship. Everybody was shocked by that. He went over to CNN. You saw their ads, coming out, and they talked about how they've got a lot to talk about. March 29th, right? About a month ago. They're dead. They're shutting their doors. They shut down for good on April the 30th. So we're about a week away from that. The incoming chairman and CEO of CNN said, he issued a statement. He says, the decision was made to cease operations of CNN Plus and focus our investments on CNN's core news gathering operation and in building our digital platform. And that's good. I hope they do a good job. I think they need to fine tune that. CNN would have incredible success if it became more neutral, more middle of the road, more fair in its particular coverage. And that goes for every entity that's out there. And I know there are some people really trying to gravitate to that, but it made me think about Chris Wallace backing the wrong horse. He's a big name. And it surprised a lot of people when he left Fox News for CNN Plus. I'm just assuming they must have paid him a lot of money to do that. Money does talk and people will walk. Rumors were floating. He wasn't happy with the numbers that CNN Plus had garnered. They only had, I think, about 100,000, according to some reports, and he wanted his own show on CNN proper. And, who knows, Chris Cuomo, of course, is gone, right? So they've got that vacated slot. So maybe Cuomo will be there. We'll see how that all ultimately shakes out. And of course, a lot of people have abandoned Netflix. They have, gotten off a lot of these streaming platforms. I mean, money is one of those big issues. If you're saving, if you're trying to save costs, you certainly would do that. But Netflix, is bleeding subscribers. You talk about these digital platforms. It's become the new cable. The company was blamed, they're blaming password sharing in the war in Ukraine for their declining numbers, but their stock is down and people are cutting the cord, so to speak, with Netflix. Some say the real problem might be programming. So stock down 25% in hours after, in after hours trading after they announced their first, quarterly subscriber loss in over a decade. Here's a little bit more. Listen to this.
For years now, Netflix has been the bully on the streaming playground, taking up the most space and dictating terms. But with competition intensifying and so many people feeling financially squeezed, Netflix is a luxury that right now doesn't have the luxury it's enjoyed for so long. And experts say the company may need to change how it plays the game.
This morning, Netflix and sell? The streaming giant down 25% on Wall Street in after-hours trading after announcing its first quarterly subscriber loss in over a decade. Netflix saying more than 200,000 subscribers left the service in the first 3 months of the year.
The expectation was that Netflix was going to have a bad quarter in terms of subscriber growth, but it was even worse than what anyone was expecting. There are just so many players out there right now. And before this, Netflix was really the primary player. It had the biggest reach globally, but of course that is being threatened right now.
So we'll see what happens. Streaming is the future. I don't know if you cut your cord. I can't tell you. I have a friend who had 6 DVR boxes from a cable company. He went completely wireless. I think a lot of people are doing that. It's amazing how fast things change, isn't it? From 3 stations, you'd have to get up off the couch to change a channel, to now having, what, 800 channels? You know, you can watch anything whenever you want. You can binge watch. So a lot on that frontier. Hey, in other news, this is a little disappointing, and we need to pray for unity. I really think that's important. I remember I had Barb Ernster, the communication director for the World Apostle to Fatima, on my radio program. And we were talking about this consecration. We were talking about a lot of things. And one of the things she kept talking about with First Saturday devotion, a lot of other things, was unity, right? The need to pray for unity, not just amongst nations, but even in the church. You know, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, well, he had intended to meet with the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill. That meeting, unfortunately, has been canceled. And I can understand why. You know, this Orthodox Patriarch from Russia, for some reason, I don't know why, he has backed Putin's war in Ukraine. And as a result of it, I think the Pope has suspended his visit. The Vatican was considering extending the Holy Father's trip to Lebanon in June. He's going over there, but wanted to meet him on one of the days there. They were going to meet, I think, in Jerusalem. And apparently the Holy Father's pulled back, and I think it's about optics. Pope Francis did an interview, and he says, look, I really regret, you know, that this has to be suspended. But, you know, Vatican diplomats advised me that a meeting could lend itself to much confusion at this moment. So what's that mean? I think it means that, you know, you know, you got a guy who's saying, hey, what Vladimir Putin is doing is fine, right? That it's simply a, you know, he's not even calling it a war, you know, special operation. He's backing Putin. And if you go and you shake hands and you buddy up to him, what's that say? Because you got to remember, I think their first meeting was in Cuba back in 2016. And it was the first between the Pope and the Russian Orthodox Church since the great split, right? The great schism that took place to be, you know, we had the Eastern and Western branches in 1054. So they met in Russia, huge day, a lot of talk about unity and, you know, we need to continue to pray for that. There's two lungs of the church. Now, you know, we can breathe as one, but this guy, Kirill, the patriarch Kirill, he's floated. He has given a full-throated blessing to Russia's invasion in Ukraine, and that has actually splintered the Orthodox Church, and it has unleashed an internal rebellion. The theologians and academics say is unprecedented. So you're seeing the hallmarks of this division. Pope Francis has several times criticized Russia. You know that. He's come out very implicitly, calling out Putin, using terms such as, you know, this is an unjustified aggression. It's an invasion. He talked about atrocities against civilians. On the other side of the aisle, you got Putin and Kirill calling it a special military operation designed to denazify the country. And Pope Francis, and I want to applaud him for this, has specifically rejected that terminology. You know what he said? And he said this very, I think it was a perfect way of painting it. He says, the war has caused rivers of blood. Last time I heard that term was in Rwanda, Africa. During that genocide, I think there's a lot in that terminology. So let's pray for the Pope. Let's pray for Ukraine. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for Russia. Let's pray for the conversion of Vladimir Putin. And let's do our part. Prayer and sacrifice makes a big difference. This Divine Mercy Sunday, that might be a good intention to put on your prayer list. Today is also Earth Day. And I grapple with this day a little bit. And to be honest with you, it's, you know, I think there's been a certain environmental worship, if you will, and I would be careful about saying this because I personally believe, and look, the church's social teaching on this is very clear. I mean, we're called to be good stewards of the environment, right? No doubt about it. The USCCB, if you go to their document there, you can read, they have a whole section on creation and the environment and caring for God's creation. And I'll share just a couple lines from it. This is what These are some of the principles of Catholic social teaching when it comes to the environment. And we can talk about it because, gosh, when you see what's happening in the world, the use of plastic in the planet has increased 20-fold in the past 50 years. You know, there are patches of plastic. There are islands of plastics in the Pacific Ocean that are larger than they're three times the size of the country of France. They're bigger than the state of Texas. 8 million tons of plastic end up entering the oceans every year. And they survive for hundreds of years. 165 million tons of it are in the ocean right now. And we're dumping an equivalent of one garbage truck worth of garbage, of plastic in the ocean per minute. That's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. God has created this planet. We are called to be good stewards of it. Now, when it becomes a political ideology, when people, you know, take this and they use it for other means, economic means, for control, I do have a problem with that, but we can't, you know, it's not a black and white issue, in my opinion. And we are called to be stewards of this environment that God has given us. You know, there's no doubt about it. Pope Francis spoke eloquently about this. He wrote his encyclical Laudato Si. Pope Benedict XVI was the original green pope, if you will. And he was calling for a responsible stewardship of Earth. And, you know, this is a planet that's been given to us by God. And when we exploit it to our own a detriment. So today, April 22nd, for the past 52 years, the world celebrates Earth Day. It's a reminder to protect the environment, to restore these damaged ecosystems that we have, and to live a more sustainable life. And I think that's good. I do. I think it's good. We'll talk more about it. I'll put it into some perspective for you. I'll tell you how you can find God in creation. There's a lot that we can get into. But I also want to applaud and bring into the conversation Heidi Kuhn. She's involved in a great work. I think this deserves attention. There's a ministry out there. It's called The Roots of Peace, Minds to Vines Approach. And what they've done is they've impacted over 1 million farmers and families. And what they do is they go to these countries like Afghanistan and Vietnam and other places, and they remove landmines. And the land, they say, look, it's no longer held hostage to war. And what do they do instead? In Afghanistan, they've facilitated now the export of fresh fruits and nuts and spices to all sorts of markets in India and the UAE, and they've increased agricultural exports. And they give farmers, they give individuals sustainable lives. They bless and they plant the earth, you know, and they bring it back to life, and they help the environment in general. I was in Africa with Catholic Relief Services 6 years ago, I forget how long it was ago. And they had the same principle where they'd go into, let's say, Colombia. And they would teach people how to grow coffee and create independent businesses and sustain themselves. Or they would grow soy in Africa. They would teach these different principles. You give a person a fish, you know, to eat, they eat for a day. But if you teach them how to fish, as the saying goes, they can eat for a lifetime. And I think that's what this wonderful organization is doing. And it's good to have Heidi with us today. Heidi, good afternoon. Thanks for your great work.
Oh, good afternoon, and such an honor to be back on your wonderful show.
Oh, you're kind. I appreciate it. For those who don't know, fill everyone in just a little bit on the background of what your organization's all about and the impact that it's making.
Well, thank you. Once again, 25 years ago, following the tragic death of Princess Diana, the world became aware that we live in a world where there's an estimated 60 million landmines silently poised in 60 countries. And as a mother of four and as a cancer survivor, I believe very deeply cancer is a landmine. No one knows when we're quite going to step on it. And it was a revelation to me that landmines are a cancer to the earth. And to be born and raised in a beautiful place called Marin County, California, to whom much has been given, much is required. And looking into the eyes of my four young children, I realized we lived in a world where children cannot just kick a soccer ball out of bounds. When they run after it, they may lose a life or a limb, or children who are repatriating back to their countries may be picking flowers for their mothers, and boom, off goes a landmine. And there go the other two friends to help the other who is bleeding in the field. This is a true story that happened in Bosnia-Herzegovina in the late 1990s, and it just motivated me from my heart as a mother that there must be something that I could do to turn mines into vines and replace the scourge of landmines with vineyards and orchards worldwide. And I tell you, it really has been the faith of God. I have not done this myself. I am just one mother and four children, and now a grandmother of six.
Oh, wow.
And it is
it's
by the grace of God that I am able to take these footsteps for peace.
Yeah, and this is happening all over the world. I know you've been to Afghanistan, to Vietnam, to a lot of places. If I remember correctly, Heidi, I think you were a TV news producer for a while. I mean, you had coverage of U.S.-Soviet, that whole relationship there.
Yep.
I'm curious about Ukraine in particular, because I look at footage, it's coming in. And, you know, there are landmines there. There's absolute devastation. They're rigging bodies. Last time I think we talked, you were having trouble getting people out of Afghanistan, I think. And what's the situation in Ukraine right now? Do you have people on the ground there, and what's happening?
The situation in Ukraine is unspeakable. You know, we are, as you mentioned, given this earth to shepherd. And to shepherd, there's a time to reap, a time to sow, a time to plant, a time to harvest. Mm-hmm. And Ukraine is a country which over 60% of the country is agriculture, and it's wheat. And these farmers cannot plant their fields with the wheat that is going to feed not only the neighboring countries, but also Africa. So the value chain, the business of peace, is broken when these insidious landmines are deliberately planted in these fields. The farmers are going out there with flak jackets in their tractors, trying to avoid the anti-tank landmines. So Roots of Peace is doubling down on our efforts in Afghanistan. We have worked there for the past 20 years. And when I last spoke to you, we were evacuating those most at risk.
Yeah.
But we still have been one of the very few that have remained through the harvest and into the planting season. Today, very proudly, as a Catholic mother, wife, CEO, woman, we are managing 400 Afghans we make payroll to.
Wow.
And we planted just this spring 1.1 million fruit sapling trees in multiple provinces. So, you know, regardless of the color of our hand, the faith in our heart, or the politics in our mind, it is so critical that we eradicate these seeds of hatred, you know, the antithesis of the parable of the seed. It's one step further to plant these cold, indiscriminate landmines and walk away. And I think right now, the world can see in technicolor when they turn on the television what I have been advocating for 25 years, what the impact of landmines are doing. As you say, they put them in cupboards. They put them in washing machines.
Horrible.
When people are repatriating to come back home, they are literally being blown up. And the humanitarian corridors, quote unquote, where the women and children are fleeing, leaving their husbands on the front line of the battlefield, these children are blowing up each and every day because the landmines are deliberately laid in the humanitarian corridors as they run to Poland and other countries seeking refuge. So I thank you so much. It is evil at ground zero.
Yeah,
it is, again, the antithesis, the coldness, the man-made, you know, this is just not something that we can use our imagination. We should be using how we can use the world's resources to eradicate landmines from the face of the earth. I began the month of March 1st, in Azerbaijan, in a place called Karabakh, which is what's named Black Garden. It used to feed, you know, provide Russia with some of the best grapes, the best wines.
Heidi, I'll tell you, that thought. I want to hear that, all right? But let me take a short pause. When we come back, we'll pick it up right there. I have to take a short pause. If you want to join us, you can get in right now, 888-914-9149. Share your stories, ask your questions, and feel free to be part of the conversation if you'd like. I want you to check out her website, too. It's called rootsofpeace.org. Rootsofpeace.org. You'll learn a lot about an organization that is doing wonders. We'll be back. Stay with me. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Since 1997, Roots of Peace has facilitated the removal of landmines in post-conflict regions around the globe. In nations like Croatia, Vietnam, Afghanistan, Angola, Israel, and Palestine, these remnants of war have been replaced with rich vineyards, fruit orchards, and spice farms, rebuilding communities and restoring hope to those in need.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
And I'm talking to somebody who has made it her mission to make the world a safer place, and that's Heidi Kuhn. She's the CEO of Roots of Peace, and she's answering really the call of the church to be a good steward of the environment, and has changed and has saved lives as a result of her effort. And it's good to have her with us. I want to talk about the anniversary of Vietnam coming up, because that land, if I remember correctly, is I think 80% of the country, maybe even greater, is still covered with landmines. But before we get to that, you were mentioning an experience you had in Azerbaijan. I'd love to hear that. I'll let you pick it up where we left off.
Yes. Well, the 1st of March, International Women's Month, I wanted to begin the month with footsteps for peace and of substance, and was taken to Qadaba, which translates into Black Garden. It used to be these beautiful, lush vineyards that provided the best wine for Moscow, and it is riddled with landmines as far as you can see. It is really, it's such a travesty what humans can do to the face of the earth. And I went out there with the demining team. They asked me my blood type. It's a conscious decision to walk mm-hmm. through a minefield, and I detonated 8 anti-tank mines, and feeling the impact of the thunder in the ground, and then to know there's millions more left behind. Wow. It is an act of divine mercy to eradicate one landmine and plant one grapevine as an act of peace.
That's so beautiful. There are other celebrities who are, I know Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has strongly endorsed, you know, your efforts, and I think also His Excellency Kofi Annan from the United Nations has endorsed you. What other celebrities, what other big names are behind this effort of getting these landmines out of these war-torn nations?
I have had the honor of 9 private blessings with His Holiness Pope Francis and four with Pope Benedict. And, you know, as a Catholic, these blessing my footsteps for peace are the only way that I can do this as a human being. And as just one mother and now one grandmother. And, you know, Diane Baker, whom I just heard on your voiceover, starred in Diary of Anne Frank, one of the most prestigious Hollywood stars, you know, and just ordinary people. You know, that is the what we can do in this world is to support the eradication of landmines from the face of the earth. And that is my mission on this 25th anniversary year of Roots of Peace. It's the 25th anniversary of Princess Diana's death, and it is a call to action. Yeah. Her Majesty Queen Noor wrote the foreword of my book, Breaking Ground. Cindy McCain, as well as Nancy Pelosi, and I'm very, very proud to be a bipartisan American woman leading the torch on the eradication of landmines. Jane Goodall, who protects the animals, takes 8 pounds to detonate a landmine, and that does not exclude the elephants who roam the fields of Africa, as you mentioned earlier, that you know you did so much work there in Africa. But we close our eyes as human beings, and this is a practical moment to turn minds into vines. And in Vietnam, as you mentioned correctly, 80% of the land today in Quang Tri province, the former DMZ, is riddled with landmines. And that is the site where Our Lady of La Vang appeared to the children in the late 1700s when the Catholics ran for refuge into the jungles. And she provided the tea, the beautiful La Vang tea that healed the whole region. Well, the region needs healing once again. We need to eradicate the landmines from places called Khe San, Dong Ha, Cam Lo, Hamburger Hill. These were the names of my generation in the 70s, what defined the Vietnam War. And April 30th, 1975, the Vietnam War ended. Yet, since the war ended, over 100,000 Vietnamese innocent footsteps have been either maimed or killed by these explosive remnants of war left behind. And in the case of Vietnam, they're primarily cluster munitions. So, yes, I am a Catholic woman on a mission of divine mercy to call upon the world to join me by eradicating landmines, planting grapevines, from mines to vines, from blood to wine, from killing fields to vineyards and orchards. May we turn our swords into plowshares, Amen. Our spears into pruning hooks, so that nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. This is That's a calling awesome. Card to Ukraine. The world is seeing what landmines do today yeah. in Technicolor, and how dare we not stand up.
Heidi, if people want to help, what's the best way to do that? Just go to the website, I'm assuming?
Please go to the website, www.rootsofpeace.org. If you have ways you even want to help, my direct email is heidi@rootsofpeace.org. I'm easily accessible, and just call upon global citizens to take an act of peace. This is a time of spring. It's a time of planting. It is not a time to be planting landmines and close our eyes to what we can do as Catholics on the eve of the Divine Mercy Sunday.
Amen to that. Let's take a few calls for you. If you want to get in, I only have Heidi for a few minutes. Our number here is 888-914-9149. You can call now. We'll start in Eureka, California. Mark's got an interesting question for you, Heidi. Mark, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I had heard maybe 15 years ago that they had a lot of success with these rats, and I thought it was in Africa. And the rats, being very intelligent and being very small and light, worked with one trainer, and they had a bond, and they got a lot of success finding landmines based on the rat's ability and the relationship with the trainer.
Wow.
Do you know anything about that? Or have you
Yes,
ever...
and that is such an intelligent question. I've actually met the founders and owners. It's called APOPO, APAPO, and they train these hero rats, is what they call them. And again, it's the relationship of man to animal. They also do this with the Marshall Legacy Institute with the highly trained dogs. You know, you cannot replicate the ability of animals to sniff out the cordite in these insidious landmines planted beneath the face of the earth. So, yes, that is an excellent organization. We have partnered with them. And again, you know, whoever we can partner with in the most safe and productive way. One of those little hero rats, the most famous one, just actually tragically died in Cambodia. And the country was so respectful for this hero rat that had eradicated so many landmines, so that the children and the innocent people, long after the guns of silence, can walk in peace. But thank you for that question.
Thank you, Mark. That's a great question. Yeah. Hey, I find rats to be so creepy, but my gosh, we know how beneficial they are. They're part of God's creation, right? In science and experimentation. Dogs can sniff cancers, and if rats can help find landmines, God bless God's creation and the ability to train something like that. That's amazing. Well, look, Heidi, I want to thank you for all that you're doing. I really do. It's wonderful. I'm a little concerned about the future of hunger in the country. I know you're planting vines with Ukraine and the breadbasket there being, affected by this war. What do you see happening in Ukraine as a result of the war that's now being ravaged?
Oh, it's beyond devastating. We're not thinking of the impact of a harvest of hope. It's preventing the cultivation of the fields.
Yeah.
And what Roots of Peace is doubling down, we're calling for 1,000 golden shovels in Afghanistan. And while there are sanctions there right now because of the current change of regime, the Taliban, we have to move beyond the political demos. You know, have to get down to the business. Peace and these in Afghanistan, it's the innocent farmers and families who are going to starve in a country that's 80% dependent upon agriculture. Afghanistan is 80% dependent upon agriculture, and to turn those guns into shovels, those swords into plowshares, we need to focus on a country where we can plant. We're planting pomegranates right now in Kandahar, apples, apricots in Ghazni Wardak, cherries in Badakhshan, beautiful saffron in Herat, and of course grapes in the Shamali Plains north of Kabul. And it's essential that although we planted 1.1 million trees this spring, in addition to the 6 million trees we planted, fruit trees, they bear fruit. This is what God gives us.
Amen.
Despite what we've done to our earth on Earth Day, God still loves his children so much that when we get on our knees, we bow, we plant a seed. You have to get on your knees to plant a seed. But with sunlight, water, and a human hand, that seed will grow as it has for thousands of years. And that is just generational wisdom. So by turning minds to vines, again, it is an act of divine mercy. However we can, through your incredible show, get this from my lips to God's ears, because that's really what it's going to take, is a miracle. But for people to open their eyes, what can we do for peace in this world? We can get on our knees and plant the roots of peace on earth now.
Well,
it is
you.
Possible.
Heidi, thank you for your great work. Hope to catch up and continue to follow the good that you're doing. And have a blessed Divine Mercy Sunday. And count on our prayers for your efforts, okay?
The prayers are the most important currency of the heart. Thank you so much.
You got it. That's Heidi Kuhn. You can check her website out as well. I hope to do that. That's rootsofpeace.org. Rootsofpeace.org. Coming up in just a moment, I've got to take a break in just a second here. Father Stephen Lesniewski is going to be stopping by, and we're going to take a look at his latest video that is out. And of course, we will take your calls and questions coming up a little bit later today too for the Divine Mercy Chaplet and the Divine Mercy Feast of Mercy, which is going to be on Sunday. So we'll get answers for that. She mentioned Our Lady of Louvain, and I just want to talk about that for a quick moment. You may be unfamiliar with this, but the Virgin Mary's been appearing across the centuries, you know, from her earliest apparitions in her appearance to St. James in the Iberian Peninsula, when she came as Our Lady of Saragossa, you know, war-torn countries like Bosnia-Herzegovina, to the jungles of Africa, to the Orient, to Asia, to all sorts of places. She's come. I don't think the Our Lady of Louvain has been formally recognized by the Vatican, but she has incredible importance to the people of Vietnam. And back in, she was pointing out in the late 1700s, I think 1798, something like that, 1800. The emperor there was fearing the spread of Catholicism because it was beginning to take root there in Vietnam. So he issued this anti-Catholic edict, right? And as we've seen across the centuries, this brutal persecution of the faithful began. It's so demonic if you think about it. I think about what happened in the early church, and you just take a look at what happened in the Middle Ages. You take a look at what happens even in our own day and age, when it comes to the persecution of the faith, how people suffer and they die. And there's so many martyrs today for the faith. So what ended up happening is this persecution began. The faithful in Vietnam, they sought refuge in a rainforest. It was the rainforest of Louvain. And as a result of this, a lot of people became very ill while hiding in the jungle. And every night they'd gather at the foot of a tree and they'd pray the rosary. They'd invoke the intercession of the Mother of God. And I want you to know that God hears our prayers. Our Lady heard their prayers. One night as they were praying the rosary, an apparition of Our Lady came, and she appeared to them dressed in traditional Vietnam or Vietnamese, I guess is the right word to use, clothing, attire. And she came holding the baby Jesus in her arm, and she was flanked by two angels that appeared to them as well in the branches above. And she offered words of comfort. In fact, she comforted them, as you heard my last guest, Heidi, talk about. She told them to boil the leaves from the trees for medicine to cure their illness. And that's exactly what happened. A couple years later, the Christians returned to the village, passed on the story of how the Virgin Mary came and the message she gave to them. And as the message of this apparition, as the story of the apparition spread, many went to pray at that particular site, and they ultimately would build a chapel there. And today she is the patroness, I should say, of Vietnam and of Vietnamese diaspora, including attending, you know, the Vietnamese Martyrs Parish and a lot of other people. So there's great devotion to her. What's interesting is a side note, and I'll leave it at this. When the Virgin appears, whether it's Vietnam, whether it is somewhere in Asia, whether it is in the jungles of Africa, She appears as the indigenous people would see her. So she was to appear to you here in the Americas, right? She would look probably like an American, right? In Africa, she came as an African. You know, in Vietnam, she came as one would, because she's the mother of all people, right? She's our spiritual mother. Christ gave her to us on the cross, right? And she's been interceding for us ever since. And quite often, the one common denominator, regardless of what ethnicity she appears at, there is a radiance, there is a light, there's a love, there is a beauty that is indescribable in human words. When people see her, words cannot describe the beauty of the Mother of God. And what a comfort. If you're in need, turn to her, pray to her. We'll turn now in a few minutes to pray the chaplet, invoking God's mercy. I always want to invite you to pray the rosary. I pray it every day. You can pray it anytime. Of course, you can join Father Rocky at 7 and pray it with him as well. But take a short pause. When we come back, we'll talk to Father Stephen Lisniewski. Yeah, he's doing a lot to promote divine mercy. And I do want to camp out a little bit. I want to spend a little bit of time on divine mercy today. So I'll tell you a little bit about how the divine mercy prayer came about. And then Dr. Stackpole will be stopping by and we'll answer all your questions. We'll do a 101 on all things divine mercy, including the great feast of divine mercy. It's one of the greatest days, I think, on our church calendar. It is the last Sunday of the Easter octave. And it's a day in which the floodgates of God's divine mercy flow. We come back, we'll kick it off. Stay with me.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
I want you to learn this prayer called the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Pray at 3 o'clock. It is the hour of great mercy for the whole world. Especially in this hour, I refuse nothing to a soul that makes a request to me by virtue of my passion. On your rosary beads, pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Then you pray, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. At the end, you pray 3 times, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. I desire that you know more profoundly the love that burns in my heart for souls. You will better understand this love when you meditate on my passion. Even if the worst sinner in the world prays this just 1 time, he will receive great mercy at the hour of his death. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask is in union with my will. The souls that say this chaplet will be embraced by my mercy during their lifetime and especially at the hour of their death.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that's a little bit regarding the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which we'll pray in about 10 minutes here. And you're more than welcome to join me. If you have a particular need today and you want some extra prayer, we're here for you. That's the beauty of what we do every afternoon at this time. So call one other person to spread the message of God's mercy. Invite one other person to pray with you today. I think that would be a really wonderful thing to do. And I know God hears these prayers. So the number 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I'd like to welcome to the program today Father Stephen Lisniewski. He's the author of 4 books. He's written on everything from the Eucharist to Divine Mercy. And he's a gentleman who's been an executive producer in a number of different films. He helped to create a whole series of Divine Mercy videos. And I thought today would be a great day to once again highlight some of those and put them on your radar. This is a very humble Catholic priest whose mission is to help the unborn and to help just spread God's love and mercy, the true presence, and, of course, God's divine mercy. And, Father, it's good to have you back. Thank you for all that you do.
I'm so happy to be back. I want to try to share you 1 or 2 stories about divine mercy, and I think it's really amazing stories.
Yeah, go right ahead.
The first one was only about a week ago. I was at the abortion clinic and praying there, and there was a lady went in there, and she's kind of ran from me. And I said, "Jeez, we can't help her out." So I said, "Let's say Divine Chaplet Mercy for her." And about a half hour later, I left and finally got a text. He goes, "You know the lady we're praying for?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "She talked to me and she says she's going to keep her baby. And she said that when she saw a priest, she goes, knew who we were about and she didn't want anything to do with us. But she said that when she was on the table about to have an abortion, she heard very clearly in her mind, 'I love you. Don't abort your baby. The devil's trying to abort your, telling you to abort your baby.'" And she said she ran out. And she said, "Thanks for being out there and praying." But she said it was so clear in her mind. It was about 3 minutes away before she was going to have the abortion. She jumped right off the table. So I believe We did the Divine Chaplet of Mercy and other prayers, God spoke to her, and she heard. It was incredible, the mercy. You know, and I would have never known that if that guy didn't tell me she told that. So when people are saying the mercy prayers, we just don't know. Only, you know, sometimes in heaven, or God sometimes reveals it to us later. But it's amazing how Divine Mercy helps the souls. And so there's another story about the forgiveness of Divine Mercy. Is that this is a story a priest told me. This poor woman had a troubled son, and the son was in drugs and other problems, and the mother prayed mercy for him. And one day she was home at night waiting for him to come home, and he didn't show up. Finally, at 3 o'clock in the morning, she wasn't sleeping, and he heard a pounding on the door. And there was a man there looking like her son, and he was on his knees and said, "Please, please, ma'am, open the door. The police are looking for me. I did something terrible. Please have mercy. I don't want to be thrown in jail." And she thought about her son a lot, and she just thought, like, he was, you know, in problems, and he related to him. And she goes, "Okay, you could stay here in the basement for a little while.
Wow.
And she put him in there, and it's amazing. I mean, very imprudent, but she did it.
Right.
And about 20 minutes later, the cops came by and knocked on the door. He says, "We're looking for a stranger here in your neighborhood because he did a terrible crime." And he says, "No, nobody's here." And he said, "Well, what did he do?" He goes, "He killed somebody." And then she goes, "Oh, my gosh, someone... I got a killer in my house," she thought. But about less than an hour later, they came back and they were very sad. And they go, "I'm sorry to tell you, ma'am. You know, do you have a son?" And he says, "Yeah." And I'm waiting for him to go home. He goes, "That was the man that was killed this evening." And then she goes, "I got the guy who killed my son in my house."
Oh my gosh.
She doesn't know what to do. She was paralyzed with fear. And she didn't say anything to the cops. And then in the morning, I guess she said, you know, he came out. He goes, "You know, I know who you are. I know what you did. That man you killed was my son." He goes, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I was an accident. I didn't mean to kill him." He goes, "Go ahead. You could go. I show you mercy. The God had mercy on my son. What he did." And he left. And he showed mercy. And then he said about 2 weeks later, she had a dream. And she said that when her son died, he came and said, "Mom, I'm so sorry for what I did to you. But because of the mercy you showed to him, the last minute I died, God came to me and he showed me mercy. And he said, I love you. I forgive you. And I said, I'm sorry, God. And he said, God showed me mercy and I was saved." And then the mother was at peace. But she said that was the dream she had.
Wow. Unbelievable, Father.
Yeah, incredible, the power of mercy. So we don't know, even sometimes when we die and, you know, we just have no idea. We have to just trust God and all, you know, and everything, especially the mercy in God when we pray.
We do. You know, you shared with me a story. I had Father over for dinner a couple months ago. He's in my house. And I don't know if we have time to share the story. I might have to carry you over, Father, to finish it because I have a few minutes here. But you were driving a van full of kids. And it resonated with me because it was a story of the power of the chaplet to convert hearts, to bring about protection. When somebody rear-ended you in the van, you want to share that story?
Sure. I'm driving to our seminary in Mundelein, and we're going to have a little picnic. And I had my foot on the brake, just gently. I took it off for a second and just kissed the top of the bumper of the next car. And I got out and I tried to say, "I'm sorry, sir. You know, bumper looks good. You okay?" And the guy started saying, I'm in agony. I said, "Sir, I barely nicked you." And I said, "Oh, no, this guy's got to be kidding me." And then out of the blue comes an ambulance a minute later. And then a minute later, on the corner, the guy's going, "I seen it all. He hit him. I said, "This is a setup. This can't be happening."
Yeah, right.
There was a mother with her kids in the car. And I said, "Tony, would you please start praying with your sister Jasmine?" And they were little kids down on their knees. They started saying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and kept praying. And then guy says, "I'm sorry, Father, you know, the ambulance driver, but, you know," the guy said he thinks he has to go to the hospital. He said his back is in a lot of pain. I said, "Oh, no, this is going to be a major nightmare for me." And so the kids kept praying. About 5 minutes later, he said, "You know what? The guy said he's fine. He said he's going to go home." I said, you got to be kidding me. He says, yeah. He says, he's good. And I believe there's no doubt because the kids were praying that, you know, whatever his plan was to cause me some you know, major headaches, that through these kids' prayers, because when kids are innocent and when they pray, you know, and that's where we have to pray like a child. So we should get our children to pray Divine Mercy. It's or Rosary. It's just unbelievable, powerful. Yeah. And I saw it that day.
That's awesome. Father, I have a minute or two left. Tell everyone how they can see your films, because we played one of them now. You were on before, I think, last week. We played some of the others. If people want to learn more about Divine Mercy, I know these are touching a lot of hearts. How can people view them?
Yeah, they go www.mercyclips.com. Okay, there they could get books, or you could even you go www.mercyclips.com, and there's like 3 or 4. We're going to put one up every week. I think we have a total of 20. And thank God they're being shown in other TV networks like Mother Angelica, things like that. So it's in English, Spanish, and Polish, and they're coming from the diary, so they're very powerful. And they're you know, parts that come right out of the diary, and they make it come alive. So I think it's very powerful. As you just played it, it makes it so real.
So mercyclips.com, www.mercyclips.com. Father, let's have you back. Bring me some more stories. I love hearing them. Okay.
Sure. Okay.
We'll have you do that. I got to take a quick break, though, because I got to pray the
a blessing for them. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, may God's mercy go out to all those who are listening, especially for those intentions. To our Mary, Mother of Mercy, amen.
Amen. That's perfect. We'll pray for you right now, Father. God bless you.